ஓம் ஸ்ரீ மகாகணபதயே நமஹ.
ஓம் ஸ்ரீ மகாகணபதயே நமஹ.
நமஸ்கார் டு சுவாமிஜி அண்ட் அதர் சுவாமிஸ், சுவாமினிஸ், பிரம்மச்சாரிணிஸ், பிரம்மச்சாரிஸ் ஆஃப் திஸ் ஆர்டர். அண்ட் ஐம் வெரி ஹாப்பி டு பி ஹியர் டு ஷேர் my understanding of Upanishads with you. Brahmanandam paramasukhadam kevalam jnanamurtim dvandvatitam gaganasadrisham tattvamasyadilakshyam ekam nityam vimalamachalam சர்வதே சாட்சிபூதம் பாவாதீதம் த்ரிகுணரஹிதம் சத்குரும் தம் நமாமி. ஓம் சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் வியாசசங்கரமத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரியபர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். ஸ்ருதிஸ்மிருதி புராணானாம் ஆலயம் கருணாலயம் நமாமி பகவத் பாத சங்கரம் லோக சங்கரம் சங்கரம் சங்கராச்சாரியம் கேசவம் பாதராயணம் சூத்ர பாஷ்ய க்ருதௌ வந்தே பகவந்தோ புனஃ புனஃ. ஓம் சஹனாவவது சஹனௌபுனத்து சஹவீர்யங்கரவாவஹை தேஜஸ்வினாவதீதமஸ்து மா வித்விஷாவஹை. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ஆஃபரிங் மை பிரணாம்ஸ் டு மகாத்மா சிவானந்தஜி அண்ட் விஷ்ணுவானந்தஜி ஆஸ் ஆல் மகாத்மாஸ். ஐ பிகின் மை கிளாஸ். உபனிஷத், in plural we say upanishadah, in singular upanishad. Ta da difference you see, upanishad, upanishadah. What does this word upanishad mean? Of course we all understand there are many Upanishads, bahavah bahvyah Upanishadah. It is a feminine gender word, bahvyah. There are many Upanishads which form the end portion of the Veda. வேதஸ்ய வேதானாம் அந்தபாகஹ, தி எண்ட் போர்ஷன் ஆஃப் தி வேத. தெர்ஃபோர் யூ ஆல் நோ வெரி வெல் வெதர் வி சே வேத அந்த சாஸ்திரம் ஆர் உபனிஷத் ஆர் ஞான காண்டஹ ஆஃப் தி வேத மீன்ஸ் த சேம். Upanishad itself, the very word Upanishad tells the purpose of studying the Upanishad. The word Upanishad itself means Brahma Vidya. Of course, the word Brahma is a neutral gender word. As a neutral gender word, ending in a consonant, N, Brahman, implies the reality, the absolute reality. So Brahmanaha Vidya, Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the absolute reality, the ultimate truth of this entire cosmos is Brahma Vidya. So Upanishad means Brahma Vidya. How do you arrive at it? Actually, this meaning of Upanishad being Brahma Vidya is derived from the components which form the word Upanishad. A meaning derived from the components of a word is called Yaugika Arthaha. Yaugika Arthaha. If we take this word Upanishad, we have this word Upa. It's not a complete word. The component Upa, Ni. Upa is a prefix and the Ni is actually a modified form of the root Ni. So you get this expression Upa Ni, one component. Then we have another component, Sat. Sat becomes Shat later on. So we are going into the grammatical aspect of it. How Sat becomes Shat, that we will not see here. But you know the two components, Upani and Sat, together form this expression, Upanishad. This first component, Upani, indicates bringing near, taking near. Upa nayati iti Upani. Upa means samipe. Ni nayati. Upa nayati. Takes near. What is that which takes near? What is that which is taken near? Jiva Atma is taken near, brought near the Paramatma. So Jivatmanam Paramatmanam Prati Upanayati. What is that which takes the Jivatma near the Paramatma? Was the Jivatma away from Paramatma at all? No. Jivatma is never away from Paramatma. Paramatma can never be away from Jivatma. Why should then Jivatma be taken near the Paramatma? And Jivatma is as though far away from Paramatma, as though distanced from Paramatma. Therefore, Jivatma is as though taken near Paramatma. And what is that which really distanced Jivatma from Paramatma? Ishvara. It is the ignorance. Ignorance separates Jiva from Ishvara. Ajnanena Jivatma Paramatmanaha Vyavahitaha. Jivatma is separated, distanced from Paramatma because of ignorance. Therefore, this distance and separation caused by ignorance has to be removed only by only through jnana. So jnanena, this vyavadhanam, separation between jivatma and paramatma, has to be removed. Therefore, this knowledge of the reality removes the distance caused by ignorance between jivatma and paramatma. Therefore, Brahma Vidya is said to be bringing the jivatma near the paramatma. It's not really bringing. In fact, Brahma Vidya helps us understand the jivatma being non-separate from paramatma. Jivatma being non-different from paramatma. So Brahma Vidya helps us understand the oneness of the essential nature of jivatma, jiva and parama, Ishvara. Therefore, Brahma Vidya, what does Brahma Vidya do? Brahma Vidya, knowledge of reality, removes ignorance, thereby removes the seeming distance caused by ignorance. That is indicated by this component Upani. Then another component, Sat. Sat actually is derived from the root Sadhur, which means avasadayati. Sat stands for the verb avasadayati. Avasadayati means destroys. So Brahma Vidya destroys. What does Brahma Vidya destroy? Destroy in sense results. So knowledge of the reality definitely removes the ignorance of reality. Dispels the ignorance of reality. When the ignorance of reality is removed, ignorance caused distance separation is also removed seemingly. Once the distance caused, separation caused, separation is removed, ignorance is removed, ignorance caused separation, distance is removed, then the distance of separation caused bondage, samsaraha, is also removed. So Sat stands for removal, dispelling, destroying. So Brahma Vidya destroys ignorance. Ignorance caused seeming distance or separation. Thereby, the seeming distance or separation caused samsaraha, the life of transmigration, of going through endlessly paths of opposites, life of limitation. So Sat stands for removal of samsara, freeing the individual from bondage of samsara. This is what Brahma Vidya does. These two components actually imply, do not directly mean Brahma Vidya, but by imply, through implication, it means Brahma Vidya, by revealing what Brahma Vidya does. That is why we can say Brahma Vidya is a functional Upanishad, actually is a functional name of another word for Brahma Vidya. Of course, you would have understood from different people, different ways of understanding the meaning of the word Upanishad. In this context, how the yaugikartha, the meaning derived from components, is given here. So I want to share that. In fact, there is a nice Sanskrit shloka, a Sanskrit verse, mentioning this meaning. Upaniye mamatmanam brahma pastadvayam punaha nihantya vidyam tajjancha tasmad upanishan mata. Upaniya imam atmanam. Imam atmanam, this self. Brahma upaniya, taking this atma, jivatma, near Brahma, paramatma. Apastadvayam, separated because of ignorance. Nihanti avidyam, it removes, destroys ignorance. Thereby, by removing ignorance, destroying ignorance, it also destroys samsara caused by ignorance. Tajjam tena jatam tajjam cha. Tasmat, therefore, Upanishan mata, therefore, Brahma Vidya is implied by the word Upanishad. This is the meaning of the word Upanishad. So the very word tells you that Upanishad, we are studying, what's the purpose of studying the Upanishad? Okay, if Upanishad means Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the reality, where does knowledge of reality rise? Where does it rise? Definitely, knowledge rises in the form of a thought, only in the mind. And where is the mind? Mind is internal instrument of knowledge. Antahkaranam is inside. From the standpoint of the body and sense organs, mind is internal. Therefore, Brahma Vidya is also what? Any knowledge of anything is internal. So knowledge also is internal. Brahma Vidya Vritti Rupena Antaha Manasi Jayate. Knowledge of reality rises in the form of a thought in the mind. Isn't it? But the textbook, what you are going to read, which is outside here, in the form of words, even if it is not printed here, still Upanishad, the words, Upanishad is in the form of words which are expressed outside. So the text Upanishad, the textbook consisting of words, is also, which is external, which is outside, is also known by another term, the same term, Upanishad. What is the meaning? How can we then? Yes, it has two meanings. The first meaning is the primary meaning of the word Upanishad is definitely Brahma Vidya, knowledge of the truth which arises in the name of a thought. Vritti Rupena Jayate Jnanam. And secondary meaning of this word Upanishad is the textbook. How can we give another secondary meaning of the Brahma Vidya, the word Upanishad, as open the textbook? Yes, there is a definition. We can define that. See, the word knowledge is denoted by many words. Jnanam, Vidya. Jnanam is a neuter gender word which means knowledge. Vidya is a feminine gender word which means knowledge. There is another word also, Prama. Prama or Pramitihi. Pramitihi ikaranta strilinga shabdaha. Prama akaranta strilinga shabdaha. The word Prama, Pramitihi, both the words mean knowledge. And when do we use this word Prama? When we use in the context of the knower, Pramata, subject of knowledge. Pramanam, instrument of knowledge. Prameyam, object of knowledge. Pramitihi or Prama means knowledge. The word knowledge is also denoted by another word, Prama or Pramitihi. And Prama Janakam Pramanam. Pramam Janayati Iti Pramanam. The words of the Upanishad, though they are outside, they work, they function as instruments of knowledge. The words, the textbook serves as an instrument of knowledge. It produces the knowledge. Therefore, the word Upanishad also means, not primarily, but secondarily, it also means the textbook. Okay. So we know two meanings of the word Upanishad. Now, this textbook, particular text which we have chosen here, Ishavasyopanishad or Ishopanishad, is known as Ishopanishad or Ishavasyopanishad. There is no given specific big reason. The Upanishad begins with the word Isha or Ishavasyam. Therefore, it is called Ishavasyopanishad or Ishopanishad. And this particular Upanishad is a mantra Upanishad. We have two types of Upanishads, mantra Upanishad and Brahmana Upanishad. Generally, a Brahmana Upanishad is always a big Upanishad, or doesn't need to be physically big, but it always becomes a commentary, elaborate commentary upon an other Upanishad, which is a Mantra Upanishad. It means Mantra Upanishad presents the teaching briefly, and Brahmana Upanishad is a commentary upon the Mantra Upanishad. It means Veda Shastram itself Shruti itself, Shruti herself. If I say Shruti in English, I can say itself. If I think of Sanskrit word, herself. Shruti herself comments upon Upanishad. Ishavasam is Shruti, part of Veda. And Brihadaranyakam is also part of Veda. And Shruti Upanishad herself, Shruti herself comments upon one Upanishad. So Ishavasyam is a mantra Upanishad, mantra Upanishad belonging to Shukla Yajurveda. Of all four Vedas, Rig Yajusama Atharvana Vedas, we have this Krishna Yajurveda and Shukla Yajurveda. Taittiriya Upanishad belongs to Krishna Yajurveda. And Ishavasyam belongs to Shukla Yajurveda. Branch. And Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is a Brahmana Upanishad, which is a commentary upon Ishavasya Upanishad. If you take this Upanishad, Ishavasya Upanishad, in the alphabetical order, in tradition, always they start with the Ishavasya Upanishad. It's a small Upanishad consisting of just 18 mantras. But it is very profound. Pujya Swamiji, when he teaches, he doesn't teach Ishavasyam first. He doesn't recommend studying Ishavasyam first. Even though traditional acharyas prefer studying Ishavasyam first. In the order, alphabetical order, E comes first. Isn't it? Isha, Kena, Gada, Prashna, Mundaka, Mandukya, Aitreya, Taitreya, Chandogya, Brihadaranyaka. The order comes. So they first start with Ishavas. Anyway, you'll see how exotic, beautiful this Upanishad is. Every Upanishad is beautiful. It has its own way of presenting the truth. Anyway. And for Shukla Yajurveda, this is Shanti Patha, Shanti Mantra. Before studying any Veda, any branch of Veda or Upanishad belonging to any Veda, in tradition, of course, you all must be knowing very well, we always begin with the Shanti Patha, Shanti Mantra, peace invocation. A mantra of benediction, benedictory verse. Usually, Shanti Patas, Shanti Mantras consists of prayer, where we pray for the first of all physical wellness, then emotional well-being, then obstacle-free study. Because physically, if you are not unwell, you mentally are disturbed, Upanishad teaching will not be effective. So the obstacle in our pursuit of knowledge can be in any form. It can be in the form of your own physical illness, in the form of your own physical mental disturbance. It becomes a big obstacle. Or the problem can be caused by anything other than yourself, or neither you nor other things, but natural calamities can become source of obstacle. Therefore, in our tradition, it has been very clearly, thoroughly analyzed and understood. The obstacles will be there in accomplishing any endeavor, in any endeavor, in anything. In achieving anything, there will be obstacles. It can be accomplishment of artha, kama or dharma. Of course, in accomplishment of moksha also, in attaining jnanam also, there will be obstacles. There will be pratibandhas. And for all these obstacles, Doesn't matter whatever obstacle comes. When an obstacle rises, you cannot be peaceful, you cannot be happy. You have made up your mind to achieve something and you make efforts, appropriate efforts, adequate efforts. In spite of your efforts being adequate and appropriate, still there will be obstacles. And obstacles come naturally, obstacles result in pain. They cause pain. The pain caused by obstacle. Sadness. The pain caused by obstacles is called tapaha. Tapaha. No, tapaha means heat. Pain also is known by the word, meant by the word tapaha. Why? The heat outside. The suryasya tapaha. Bahihi. No, outside there is a suryasya tapaha. What does that heat do? That heat scorches things outside. Similarly, heat, the pain in your mind also scorches your mind. That is why pain is also known by the term tapaha. Pain is heat which scorches your mind. The pain is also known by the word tapaha. And the pain, we don't have three types of pain. It's only pain, is only one pain which scorches the mind. But pain is caused by what? Obstacles. And these obstacles arise from where? There are only three different sources of obstacles which cause pain. So the pain caused by obstacles arising from three different sources is called tapatrayam. They don't have three. Tapatrayam means a set of three. Is there a set of three pains? No. Pain is only one. But pain is caused by obstacles. And the sources of obstacles are three. Therefore we say tapatrayam. And in order to remove what of the pain caused by obstacles arising from three different sources, in tradition always we begin the Upanishad study with a peace invocation known as Shanti Pathaha or Shanti Mantraha. So, Tapatraya Nivrityartham Shanti Pathaha. And pain caused by obstacles for which the source is one's own self. The tapa is called Adhyatmika Tapaha. The pain is caused by obstacles for which the source is anything other than yourself. And then the pain is called Adi Bhautika Tapaha. Neither you nor the world, but there are natural crises and calamities which become the source of obstacle. It's called Adi Daivika Tapaha. I'm sure all of you are exposed a lot to the teachings. You must be knowing, but I just follow the tradition. Adi Daivika Tapaha. Therefore, in order to remove Adhyatmika, Adi Bhautika, Adi Daivika Tapas, Tapatre Nivrityartham, Shanti Pataha. Shanti Patena Patasya Arambaha Kriyate. Lesson is begun with that. But for this Shukla Yajurveda, there is a different Shanti Pataha, a very unique Shanti Pataha. There is no prayer here. Like in your Shanti Pata, you would have learnt a lot of Shanti Mantras here. This is different. And here also, that's why any Shantipatha ends with the three times Shanti. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. But in this mantra, the swara differs. Everywhere, Shanti Shanti Shanti. Here, Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Only for this Shantma, only for this Shukla Yajurveda Shanti, the swaras change. Swaras change. We'll send you them afterwards. Before next class, we'll be ready with that. Om. No swara up. All anudatta, udatta swaras. No swarita at all. No dirgha swarita or swarita. Om purnamadhav purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. We'll chant every day, so you get it. See, Shantihi Shantihi Shantihi. The visarga preceding Sha also becomes Sha. So even though Shantihi 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 is there, when chanting we say Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Okay, we chant once. Om. Again, any mantra begins with Omkaraha. Of course, the elaborate discussion on Om in Mandukya Upanishad. Because Om itself is an auspicious utterance, because the sound symbol of the Lord Ishvara Bhagavan, the whole. And Om consists of only three sounds, two short vowels, one consonant. Nasal consonant. Akara, ukara, makara. And vowel should take only one matra kala, one unit of time. To pronounce a vowel a, how much time does it take? That much time is called one matra kala, one unit of time. So O consists of three sounds, therefore it should take only three matra kala. Om, Om, Om. Om Purnamadav, Purnamadav, Purnamadav. Purna. Next. Purnamidam. 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 Purnat. Purnat.
उदच्यते पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णस्य पूर्णम् पूर्णमादाय 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 पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते 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 ॐ शांति शांति शांति
ॐ सो लेट अस बिगिन द अनफोल्डमेंट ऑफ द मीनिंग ऑफ दिस मंत्र विद द मीनिंग ऑफ द ओम एज एन ऑस्पिशियस बिगिनिंग ऑफ दिस क्लास. ओम is also known as pranavaha, pranava mantra. If you break that word pranavaha, you have a prefix pra, then navaha. If you take that sound navaha, dental, na, you put dental na, nava. Navaha means name. You would have heard in Sanskrit bhasha another word nama. Nama means name. Navaha also means name. Navaha. Now you can say mama navaha atma prakashananda saraswati. Navaha means name. But dental, na, right. When you add a prefix pra, the na becomes na, cerebral, na. Pranavaha. So pranavaha means what? A unique name. The prefix pra makes this ordinary name a unique name. Now fan is a navaha, a name of a given object. Fan, a word fan is a navaha, a name, a word denoting a particular object. Fan, mic is a navaha, a name denoting a particular object, mic. The word mic denotes only this particular object, not any other object. Any one word can denote only one object. Bag, paper, room, hall, man, woman. Any word denotes only its corresponding object. But pranavaha is a unique term, a unique name. One word which stands for all the objects. So prakarshena नूयते अनया सर्वम इति प्रणवः. दैट बाय विच ऑल द ऑब्जेक्ट्स द एंटायर यूनिवर्स ऑफ ऑल द ऑब्जेक्ट्स आर डिनोटेड देयरफॉर इट्स कॉल्ड प्रणवः. सो कैन से व्हाट इज दिस ओम 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 Om, Om, Om. Easy to escape. What is that? Om. What is this? Om. What is that? Om. Who are you? Om. Who am I? Om. Om. That is why in Yajnashalas, it is said, when people, the rituals are performed, the priests, when they talk in between, they will not say for whatever, for everything they will say Om. Shall I come? Can I enter there? Om. Om. Shall I go outside? Om. Can I sit? Om. Would you please get me that Om? It seems they use the only utter Om, which means pranavaha. That is the meaning of the word pranavaha. Prakarshena noyate anena iti pranavaha. That by one word by which every object in the world is denoted. That's why it's a unique term. So pranavaha means a unique name, unique term. That is why it is said to be what? Sound symbol of the Lord, the whole. That is why any mantra, everything will begin with Om. It's Om. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam. Purnamadah Purnamidam. This is one sentence. Purnam Adaha Purnam Idam. Purnam Adaha Purnam Idam. Purnam means infinite, limitless, the whole. And we have this expression adaha. Adaha actually is a pronoun which means that. In Mahavakyam Tattvamasi we have the pronoun tad. So here in this mantra what you find here, adaha means tad. Tad is a pronoun, third person singular pronoun, which means that. And that stands for Paramatma, Ishvaraha. It is Paroksha Vishayaha. Paroksha Vishayaha. Ishvaraha. Paramatma is denoted by, implied by this pronoun tad. So tad, so adaha purnam means tad purnam. Tad purnam means Ishvaraha purnaha, Paramatma purnaha. Paroksha vishayaha, Paramatma Purnaha. Ishvara is infinite. The Lord is infinite. Lord is infinite. Lord is limitless. Lord is the whole. Lord is time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless. Lord is absolutely limitless, infinite. Ishvaraha Purnaha. Now, Idam Purnam. So, Idam also means Etad, this. Idam also is a third person singular pronoun, but means this. Idam indicates a pronoun, third person singular pronoun indicating the nearest. Tad is a pronoun meaning that, indicating anything and everything other than this. What is the nearest? Jiva Atma. So Idam is a aparoksha. Idam indicates. Idam stands for aparoksha vishaya, not paroksha, aparoksha vishaya. This jiva atma. Jiva atma. So idam purnam means I am jivaha purnaha. this Jiva Atma is also infinite. Jiva Atma also is what? Time-wise limitless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless. Jiva Atma also is infinite. Already Mahavakyam is finished. Mahavakyam teaching is over. Purnamadav Purnamidam. Pack up, we'll go out. Teaching is over. Purnamadah Purnamidam. Tattvamasi is revealed already here. Idam stands for Tvam. Adaha stands for Tat. Idam Purnam, Adaha Purnam. Lord is, Paramatma is infinite, Jivatma also is infinite. First question should arise. Infinite cannot be two. If there are two things which are said to be infinite, if there are more than one, enough to limit the other, one will limit the other. One being limited by the other, it cannot be infinite. Therefore, definitely there cannot be two infinite things. There must be only one infinite. So what about the statement, Purnamadaha Purnamidam? It is not somebody else's simple, somebody else has written this, to ignore it. It is Upanishad Vakyam, Shruti Mahatuhu Vakyam. We cannot ignore it. It's a statement of fact. Statement of Upanishad says, it was a statement of fact. Which means, if Jivatma is Purnam, Purnaha, Paramatma is Purnaha, then definitely they must be essentially one and the same. So this meaning, how do we arrive at it? Of course, Jivatma is different from Paramatma. If there is no difference at all, then equation is not necessary. Equation is not possible. There is difference, there is also non-difference. That is why equation is important. So, Jivatma is equated to Paramatma. So, we have to see the Lakshyartha of Tad Shabda. Lakshyartha of Tvam Shabda. The word Tvam and Tat in Mahavakyam Tattvamasi have two meanings. One is Vachyartha, literal meaning. Another is implied meaning. It's exactly like saying, when you say Vevi is ocean, you are sitting on the seashore. Vevi is ocean. Vevi is equated to an ocean. And Vevi is different from the ocean. There is difference between wave and ocean in form and name. At the same time, there is also non-difference between wave and ocean in terms of H2O water. So difference must be there, non-difference must be there, only then equation is possible. So from, if you see wave is ocean, meaning wave and ocean are one and the same. They are not different. How can you say one and the same? From the standpoint of the truth. If you remove the form name, ocean, wave, remove the form ocean, remove the name for wave and ocean, what is what? Water. So essentially, the standpoint of the truth without which the form wave cannot exist at all, the standpoint of water without which the form ocean cannot exist at all, without which the words wave and ocean will be meaningless. That was a substance. The standpoint of the water, wave and ocean are one and the same. There's no difference. Similarly here, from the standpoint of the essential nature of the Parameshwara and the Jiva, there is no difference. Essentially, Jiva and Ishvara are one and the same. Which means without the Namarupa. The Namarupa, we call it Upadhihi. You all would have heard this word many times, Upadhihi. Upadhi Sahita means Sopadhika. Upadhi Rahita Nirupadhika. From the standpoint of Nirupadhika Ishwaraha, Nirupadhika Jivaha, without the Upadhi, without the Namarupa, the standpoint of the essential nature, we see Jiva and Ishvara are one and the same. So Purnam Adaha Purnam Idam is a Mahavakyam where oneness of the Jiva and Ishvara is revealed from the standpoint of Nirupadhika Ishvara and Jiva without Upadhi. Essentially they are one and the same. Therefore, Jiva is essentially infinite reality. Ishvara also is essentially infinite reality. And the reality is one. Essentially, Jiva and Ishvara are one and the same. So, Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnamidam. How can we say one and the same? There's difference. Yes, the standpoint of Upadhi, the standpoint of Namarupa, they're different. The very word Adaha, Idam, two different pronouns are used, denoting the difference. Ishvara is Sarvajna, all-knowing, omniscient. Jiva is knows very little, alpajnaha. Ishvara is sarvashaktiman, omnipotent. Jiva is what? Alpajnaha. Jiva knows very little. Alpashaktiman. Jiva shakti is very little. Ishvara is omnipresent. So how can omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent Lord and Jiva, who knows little, who has very little power, be one and the same? How can they be one and the same? Yes, definitely. From the standpoint of Upadhis, Jiva and Ishvara are different. Stand essentially they're one and the same. So Purnamadaha Purnamidam. Next Purnat Purnam Udachyate. Now Nirupadhika, from the angle of Jiva and Ishvara, the standpoint of essential nature, they are one and the same. Now, Sopadhika, the standpoint of Ishvara and Jiva, with Upadhis. Now the again discussion follows. Purnat Purnam Udachyate. Udachyate, Jayate, originates, comes into existence. Who comes into existence from whom? Purnat. So here not Nirupadhika Ishvara. Sopadhika Ishvarat Sopadhikaha Jivaha Udachyate. From Ishvara, Jiva comes into existence. from Ishvara, from Paramatma, Jivatma comes into existence. Jivatma is born out of Paramatma. Purnat, Purna Ishvarat, Purna Jivaha Udachyate. The Purnat, Purnam Udachyate means, for the Purnat stands for Purna Ishvarat. From Bhagavan, the infinite, from Ishvara, the infinite Jiva originates, comes into existence. Here the question should come, what is the question? First of all, how can there be origination of the infinite? We say something is infinite and talk about the origination. How can there be origination of the infinite? And how can there be two? Already we have understood. Therefore, when you say Purnat, Purna Ishwarat, Purnaha Jivaha Udachyate means, this Ishvara who is essentially the infinite, and this essentially infinite Jiva as though originates. It means Sopadhika Ishvara, Sopadhikaha Jivaha Udachyate. From the Ishvara Dupadi, Jivava Dupadi has come into existence. Suppose, how? We need to understand clearly. Example is given. Mahakashat Ghatakashaha Yata Udachyate. There is space. Mahakashaha. And part space is born out of total space. Just as part space is born out of total space, so the Jiva is born out of Ishvara. Now the question you have to ask, is there something called part space at all? There is no part space. Part space is only a temporary name attributed to the space obtaining within the enclosure called part. So birth of the part, origination of the part, is superimposed upon the space. Really speaking, there is no such a thing called part space at all. So how can there be birth of a part space? Is it clear? Similarly, there is no part space at all. There's only space. What is only space? But still we can say part space has come into existence. Origination of part is superimposed upon the space. Therefore we say part space is born. Similarly, Jiva, there's no Jiva at all. This is only the truth. There is no Jiva other than Ishvara. And how can we talk about the birth of a Jiva? Therefore, when you say Purnat Purna Mudachyate means from the Sopadhika Ishvara, Sopadhika Jivaha, Sopadhikaha Jivaha Mudachyate. Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Avasishyate. We'll come back and see. No? Sometimes things will go above the head. Okay, we have sat for a long time with the puja today. Especially we will have every session 1.5 hour session, Swamiji. We'll continue with that. Anyway, I'll start again from the beginning. So, be easy for you to follow. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate
Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.
May Bhagavan bless all of us with a clear understanding of Vishnu Parishad.